Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. Idea Talks is a monthly conversation with Josh Tice and other church leaders on big ideas for life and ministry. Our desire is for you to gain insight on the big ideas discussed each month. On this episode, Pastor Josh discusses the impact corporate prayer can have in a church. Our guests for this episode are Pastor Jonathan Blankenship, who is the pastor of Laurel Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Pastor Cody Kuhl, who is the pastor of Grand Rapids Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hey, well, fellas, thank you so much for coming. Today's big idea is prayer and corporate worship. We understand the importance of personal prayer, which we might touch on, but today really we're going to talk about the importance of corporate prayer within ministry context. But before we do, let me introduce you guys to our audience. Today we have Pastor Jonathan Blankenship, pastor in Charlotte, North Carolina. How long have you been there, Jonathan?
7 years.
7 years. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And you took it
from your hometown.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it.
I grew up in Charlotte. My dad pastors on the west side of town. I was in evangelism for 8 years, and then the opportunity came back for me to go back home in 2008. And that's where we started with just a handful of people. It's been awesome. I love it.
That's awesome. You're doing a great work there. I'm so glad that we met and we've become friends. And then my dear friend, Cody Kuhl, pastor in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and doing a wonderful job up there in the frozen tundra. We worked together for how long?
4.5 years.
4.5 years. And now God has you up there. You're doing an amazing job there. Tell us what it's like pastoring in Michigan.
Well, I've never been to Michigan in my life, so it's like you said, it's a frozen tundra.
Yeah.
And I'm from the West Coast, so it was a change to get to know the new culture and the people there. But we've been there for 5 years, and it's been amazing.
Very cool. Yeah. Before we get to the topic of the day, which is prayer, let's go ahead and get into what we do—a little game every beginning called Five Questions. I'm going to ask the same five questions to both of you. You need to answer quickly and in one or two words. Now, the last question I'm going to change a little bit. Nobody knows what I'm going to say. The last question, you can answer a little bit longer. You'll see why whenever I get to it. Are you ready?
Ready.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, Jonathan. Favorite book?
Favorite book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire.
Ah, by Cimbala. Fantastic book. Favorite book?
The Bible.
Nice. He wins. Fantastic. All right, second question. Cody, taco or pizza?
Pizza.
Taco.
Oh, man, you guys are disagreeable. If I could speak to one person in history, it would be?
Oh, wow. One person in history.
Non-biblical.
Non-biblical. Man, that's a really tough question.
Come on.
Abraham Lincoln.
That's pretty good, actually.
I want to hear about that memorable address, how it was so convicting.
Yeah. Very good. I like it.
George Washington.
Wow, we've got some American
presidential level,
we've got
right?
Some American patriots here. Goodness. All right. Okay. Fourth question. This is a very important question. Joshua Ermler or Joshua Tice?
Joshua Tice.
Yes.
Who's Josh Ermler?
Thank you. By the way, that's the correct answer. And these guys had no idea that I would be using that question. Okay. Question number four. Tell us a little bit. You can expand on this a little bit. Dumbest thing you ever said from the pulpit.
Oh, wow. There's too many. Too many.
I know. I've done okay. A fair share myself, but go ahead.
The dumbest thing, I have a speech impediment, so I can't tell you what I said, but let's just put it this way. When I meant to say sheet of paper, it didn't come out the way I wanted it to be. So my speech impediment, my slurring of words,
and
all
did
things
people
gets
notice?
To me. Oh yeah, it was done. Had the end of service right there.
Did you really?
I did, and the worst place it was in was a Christian school chapel service.
No,
it was terrible. It was done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can go.
Yeah, that's it.
That makes me feel so much better, because mine was not nearly that bad. Okay, Cody.
Mine actually happened here at.
Is it the one I'm thinking?
Yes, it is.
I was so hoping you would say it. Go ahead. Yeah.
I think we just got done singing a song on heaven. I said that if we knew how good heaven was, we'd probably kill ourselves to get there.
Oh, my.
It was one of the greatest moments in our church's history because it was so weird.
Yeah.
Literally, it was after the song, and he gets up with all the enthusiasm in the world. He's like, heaven is going to be so great. I think we would go home and kill ourselves if we knew how great we were. So and everybody was like, so awesome. So I'm glad to know. I've never personally said anything awkward. So let's move on into the conversation. Prayer, corporate prayer. This is not an area that Southern Hills has excelled in. We do some things well. And it's sad to say that in one of the areas in our church in Las Vegas that I would like to grow in, I guess I would say, is in this area of corporate prayer. I don't know where to begin. I don't know how. It's been 11 years. We pray. We have small groups that they pray. But when it comes to us having the type of prayer meetings you talk about, or you talk about Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, like Cymbala talks about, it's beyond me. And so I'm feeling like if it's something that I'm working through and trying to work through myself, some in our audiences are feeling the same way. Mm. So I'd like to kind of open up that discussion. Let's begin with Jonathan, because Jonathan, I think your reputation, as Cody told me this morning, your reputation is that. Your church is really focused on prayer. Tell us a little bit about your heart in that area.
About 2 years ago, really about a year and a half ago, I was sitting in my office on a Monday morning. Church is successfully doing well at that point in our 5.5 year history. We started with 36 people. We had quickly grown in that time span to about 300. The Sunday prior to that, it was a great Monday morning. You're reflecting on all the decisions, the packed house, everything that you would want church success to be.
Yeah.
But something was missing.
Yeah.
And I knew something was missing. And I began a conversation with our staff that morning about it, and I soon realized that what was missing was prayer. Our dependence had changed. Because when I had 36 people and just enough money to pay the bills and my salary, I was praying. And we were praying as a church. But now the church is growing. Money's coming in. The dependence shifted to where we were more focused on one another rather than being focused on God. And the Lord had to bring me to a place where I had to realize that He was the one who brought me here. And to go any further, it was going to be full reliance and dependence upon Him. And that Monday morning in my office is when it changed for me. And I began a journey where I promised the Lord I wanted to learn the rest of my life how to pray and how to lead others to pray. And that's how it began for us.
It was a personal walk with God that led you to those decisions.
Yes.
And then there began to be practical elements that began to be implemented into your church. What practical elements did you begin with?
We started by shifting our entire midweek service. We were doing small groups at the time, varied methods, but we were running two Wednesday night services to accommodate all of our small groups within the church. And again, that was one of the things that it works really well for you guys.
Yeah. And that's partly why we're having this conversation, because yeah. I would like to actually go beyond what we're doing.
Right. So for us, it was, again, the dependence was on each other in the circles, not on God.
Yeah.
And so we changed that whole service to where it was a nothing but a prayer service. Now, we've heard all our lives, come to prayer meeting, come to prayer meeting, come to prayer meeting. And when you show up on that Wednesday or Tuesday night, there's a prayer bulletin passed out. We pray for 2 or 3 minutes, and then we preach for another 45. And I mean, it's just no different than a Sunday service. That's not what we were doing. Mm. This was not what we would traditionally think as a prayer meeting where we just pass out a prayer sheet. This was prayer. This was fervent prayer. And we changed the whole dynamic of that service. It even began before the service even started. I would come early with my staff and our deacons. We dim the lights, play soft prayer music. I'm standing at the front of the auditorium. If there's something that was going to be prayed over that night, you had to come early to submit that request.
Yeah.
Or go to our online prayer center where you could submit the request online, and that's what we prayed over. And so we're praying with people. We're praying over people before that 6:30 service ever begins. And so by the time 6:30 starts and we begin our worshipful prayer music, you know, we've already got that spirit of prayer going. And so that was the first major adjustment, was the Wednesday night prayer service.
Hmm. I want to come back to that in a moment. I want to bring it into Cody and talk about, this morning you mentioned just briefly that you've done some things in your church that have really sparked again the spirit of prayer. Tell us a little bit about that.
So like when I took the church, typically you'd have the Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and we would pray. And so people would raise their hand and share their prayer requests, which was a lot of times was about their coworker's broken toe and well, what's their name? And it's they couldn't remember their name even.
Right.
And we would shoot up a few prayers at night and we would have a little Bible study, but we just knew as a staff and as a church, we weren't really getting a hold of God. And so what happened was this year, just in my personal Bible study and just recognizing that our church wasn't praying, wasn't connecting like it should, I came across a verse in Acts chapter 2 where it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and prayer, breaking of bread and fellowship. I felt like we're missing the fellowship part. We're missing the connectedness and we're missing the prayer. The preaching was there. The doctrine's there. And but the prayer and the connecting wasn't there. And so what we did is we scrapped our whole Sunday school program. And we started what we call our care groups. And our church got to a point where Pastor Josh Hassel and I could care for the entire church. It got to a point where we couldn't. So we got 16 families that we felt could lead others spiritually.
Yeah.
So we've been developing them. And they lead these groups that we call care groups. And the purpose of the care group is prayer. It's not just to, hey, this is how last week's message applied to me, or this is what I did with it this week.
So there is a specific focus to the, that those groups, and it is prayer.
Yeah, it is prayer. So what they do in the group is they sit around this table with food and coffee, and they share each other's burdens.
Yeah.
The Bible says to bear one another's burdens and pray for each other. So they're sitting around a table saying, this is what happened to me this week, and man, my job is really stressful. And they're able to just share in a smaller setting the burdens that they're carrying all week. And they're writing these prayer requests down in their journal, and it's very typical for me to walk by these care groups and to see them on their knees praying for each other,
wow,
their arms around each other, and they're really getting a hold of God. And then once that's done, you know, they kind of talk about, you know, how last week's message applied to them. But the purpose of the group is specifically prayer. And then that leads right up into our service.
Yeah.
So they're already in the Spirit. They're already walking with God.
Wait, hold on. So that those happen on Sundays?
Sunday. During the Sunday school hour, we replace Sunday school, the Sunday school model, with prayer.
Wow.
So each, now what we do is we have two
characters. I've not heard that, not only from you, but I haven't heard that from others. Is that something, did you model that from somewhere else? I mean, obviously the Bible. But was there somebody you saw do that, or was that you guys?
So Pastor Josh, I expressed this need that we had to the staff, and I said we gotta figure this out, and we can't add another service.
Yeah,
I said, but we can replace one. And Pastor Josh Hassel actually came up with the idea of replacing Sunday school with these care groups, but we didn't want just the care groups to meet together just by themselves and not get to know the whole church, and so two care groups meet together for a month, and so they're getting to know the entire church. So every month they switch to another group.
Two groups come together.
They come together.
They get to know each other, and then those groups then jostle to other groups.
Yes, and so now you're getting to know the entire church.
I've never heard that either. That's cool.
So we wanted to eliminate cliques, and we wanted to eliminate any hindrances in that.
Have
area
you heard of that?
Similar.
Yeah, similar. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So. Pastor Josh and my wife and Samantha Hassel really like got this model together and figured it all out. I said, these are the problems that I see that we could face in the future with small groups or care groups. And I said, I don't want to, and we actually pick which group they go into after they graduate from my starting point class. Yeah. And then the care group leaders care for them. And they pray together, and they include them into the church. And even visitors, when they come in, they just get involved in a care group right away until one of my classes gets started. But
well, let me follow up with this, and then I'm going to bring the same question to Jonathan. How have you seen a re-emphasis of prayer in your church affect the spiritual condition of your people?
Oh, it's been amazing. The giving has gone up. People that became very critical about things that are very small in the church, that's been eliminated. And another thing that's helped a ton is Pastor Josh and I aren't getting all of the prayer requests. Not that I don't want to pray for our church family, but they're calling their care group leader now, and they're contacting their group, and they're bearing each other's burdens together. As I think God has called the church to do. And it's not just some, it's not just something Pastor Josh and I labor in by ourselves.
Yeah.
They're laboring in this together as a church family. So we're including everybody in the church. And if you join our church, you don't have a choice. You're going to be placed into a care group. Because if you don't want to be cared for, don't join our church. So, and they're prayed for and they're cared for.
That's awesome. So. Okay, same question, Jonathan, to you. How have you seen the influence or the pushing of prayer, the, I don't know how I said it before, it was really good how I said it to him. How has it helped your church spiritually?
The results, no doubt, are there. Every Wednesday night in our prayer service, we have a prayer focus. I remember one Wednesday night, we prayed specifically for people who were without jobs. 15 came forward. We prayed for about 30 minutes nonstop, corporately, out loud together. Out loud. Everybody crying out to God.
Okay, wait. What does that look like? Because I've not seen that. I've been saved for a long time. I've not seen that.
Sometimes we partner up in groups, find one other person, find two or three other people, get around, hold hands, whatever, kneel, stand, makes no difference, but pray out loud to God.
Wow.
Dear God, we need you tonight. Amen. Hands lifted.
Okay, see, that's...
Prayer, passionate, begging, crying out loud to God. This is not one person getting up at the pulpit praying while everybody else has their head bowed and eyes closed.
Yeah.
This is corporately praying out loud together. Acts chapter 4, praying out loud, crying out to God. And in that particular instance, we had 15 people standing at the front. 2 weeks later, all 15 had their jobs.
Amen.
I mean, just miraculous type things that have occurred in those types. So those results are there. But the biggest result is the passion for God, the pursuit of God. I believe what makes a church most attractive is not our buildings, not our personalities, but it's a group of people who are passionately pursuing God. And that's what changed. And it changed the dynamic culture of our church. When Jesus was upset in the temple that day and he came and he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer."
Amen.
Sometimes we get this imagery that these were just wicked people who came in off the streets that were disrupting the house of God. The merchandise sale, they were supposed to be there. That was a part of the sacrificial system. They were supposed to be doing what they were doing. The problem was they had brought a secular spirit into a sacred place. And that's why Jesus was so upset that his house, not mine, not our, his house showed no resemblance of prayer whatsoever. The aroma had changed. And that's why he was so angry. And we get an image of Jesus that we get nowhere else in the scripture, simply because the people were not pursuing God in their prayers. And so we determined that we had to make the change. Whether this grows our church or not, that's not what the emphasis was. We don't care. As a matter of fact, if you were to take a whole service and change it totally to prayer, I'm not so sure that you would have the same amount of people that you used to have.
Yeah.
People don't want to pray.
Yeah.
But they want you to preach to them, which is fine. There's nothing negative about that. But pray, prayer's hard work. Prayer takes discipline.
It takes faith.
So there's that struggle there. So for us, the spiritual impact of our people realizing it's not our efforts. It's not our technical abilities, our innovations.
Yeah.
It's God. It's God who does the work. And that transition in our ministry changed it so much. I mean, even on Sundays, we were talking not long ago about our Sunday service. Our invitations are not traditionally what we used to do. When I get up to preach on Sunday and the message is over, I don't stand up and say, "Come if God has spoken to your heart." The word's been preached. God has spoken. There's no question whether or not if God has spoken or not.
Yeah.
So our invitation is not come if God has spoken to you. No, come because God has spoken. And when you come this morning, come by yourself, that's fine. Come with your family, that's okay. Pray with one another, makes no difference. Let's just come and let's ask God to help us do what we've heard this morning.
So even
and
in
us
your
to pray.
Even your at the end of your service, so you're closing out in genuine corporate prayer, because you've transformed the invitation time to a time of come and let's pray about what we just discussed.
Every single service, if it's a guest speaker, if it's a Monday night Bible conference, if it's Sunday, it makes no difference. Every service, we are all coming forward and we're praying together corporately over the Word of God.
Wow.
It's culturally changed our church.
Well, it's also completely countercultural. It goes completely against the consumer religion. It goes completely against even concepts that we, in which at Southern Hills, are implementing. Because it's not taking into account as much what these people in the pews might feel that might be visiting, but it's really saying, okay, God needs His people to pray. So how do we reconcile that? I'm sitting here in genuine honesty, and I'm thinking, I'd love that. But then I look at how our church is structured, and I think, well, you know, that could be really odd for people that are visiting. How do you deal with that?
I think it begins, and I think, Cody, you would agree, too, with what you've done there. It's modeled in the leadership. It has to be modeled in leadership. Remember Exodus chapter 33, Moses came down off the mountain. Great sin. God removed His presence. He went into His special tent, and there He began to pray. And you'll read in verse number 9 and 10 of Exodus 33, I believe it is, that when the people saw Moses go into the tent and pray, what did they do? They stopped and they prayed. And I think the emphasis there is that being modeled in the leadership, it being modeled by the church, leaders of the church.
Yeah.
You know, and so we got to the point that we had to make a decision. What's more important?
Yeah.
This is His house. Is it more important that I please Him or I make the people feel comfortable? Now, I want to make the people feel comfortable.
You're right.
But so how I would typically do it on a Sunday is this. If you're visiting with us today, I'm so glad you're here. You may not feel comfortable coming forward to pray. That's fine. You can pray with your seat. But I want you to know that in the next few moments, our entire church family is going to come to pray, because we believe that prayer is the most important thing. Prayer is the most important thing that this church could do. And so the response we get from our guests is really, a lot of them come. A lot of them come forward. Just this past Sunday, I'm thinking of people who came forward that were first-time guests, even from the very back row. Some people put on their connection cards, we've never seen a church focus on prayer like this.
Wow.
I'm just saying that when we do it God's way, God filters the results, and I'm not have to be so worried about the perception, you know?
That's good.
First of all, I love you. I do.
I'm passionate about this. I could talk about this for hours.
And not only that, I mean, I love being able to be challenged and realize my preconceived ideas of what we're attempting to do here need constant tweaking and evaluation based upon what the Bible teaches us. And this passion really is helpful to me. So when it comes to this concept, Cody, I'd like you to speak into what Jonathan is talking about. What are your thoughts there?
I think for a visitor, somebody who's not church, expects a church to pray.
To be a place of prayer.
Yeah, we meet people in our community all the time that are unsaved, they're unchurched, and even if you just ask them, hey, is there anything I could pray for? That means a lot to them.
Yeah.
And I don't know what their paradigm is of prayer, but once you say that, they expect a Christian to pray. They expect you to, when they come to church, so there would be some type of prayer time. So I don't think that they would be put off by, you know, a whole church coming forward and praying. That might actually impact them in a great way.
What about these midweek Bible studies? Or not midweek Bible study, but corporate prayer where the entire church is coming together. Do either one of you think that there is a point at which that can't happen? Shouldn't it happen? What is Symbolist? I mean, Symbolist is a very large mega church. How does that dynamic play, and exactly how does it, I guess, practically play out?
So I think there's various variations of which you go in with it. So just to lay out what our typical Wednesday night prayer service looks like.
Yeah.
We start at 6:30. I mentioned a moment ago, people come early and they're praying together. That's something that we stress highly during the week and on Sundays. If there's anything we can pray with you about, please come early. Pastor Blankenship, Pastor Jared, Pastor Josh, they'll be here to pray with you. So that's all happening. Right at 6:30, Jared will open up our service with worship songs, prayer songs. And then as soon as that's over with, I come straight to the pulpit. And every Wednesday night, we have one prayer focus. Last Wednesday, our prayer focus was on a little six-year-old boy I met in Baltimore when I was doing revival last week at Rosedale Baptist, Pastor Tool's church.
I love Pastor Tool.
He's
and
a great
Jake
man.
Potter.
They're great people.
And Jake's beard.
Jake's beard.
Love Jake's beard as well.
So there's a boy in there that I met who, his name's Cyrus. Mm-hmm. He has leukemia. I was so touched by his testimony. And that night I told our church, we're going to spend the first part of our prayer service praying for Cyrus, just Cyrus. Wow. And they had made a little video, and I got a hold of that. We don't always show a video, but we showed the video. It was about 5 or 6 minutes long so that they could see the need of someone they've never met. And then when the video was done, I said, I want you to find one other person, just one other person. And I think this particular week we did men with men, ladies with ladies, but it changes all the time. We're constantly mixing people together. And I said, for the next however long the Spirit leads us, let's pray for Amen. Cyrus's healing.
Amen.
And Josh, it went on for 30 minutes. Wow. For 30 minutes, people audibly begging God in tears and passion for God to bring healing to this young man.
Amen.
Now, is God going to heal him? I don't know. But we believe that he can.
Yeah.
And the passion and faith of those people. And so for 30 minutes, that's all we did. And I just felt the Spirit moving in a special way that night. I would normally just come to the pulpit and close that segment out. But we just all came back to the altar again. And I said, let's just pray once more. But when that segment was done, we take our prayer bulletin out. The prayer bulletin only consists of the requests that have been submitted over the last 7 days through our online prayer center. That's something I got from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. They have it on their website. We integrate it into our ministry as well. And that's our prayer list. That's our prayer list. It's our prayer chain, whatever churches like to call it. And so we'll work through those. And as we're working through those, we divide up into groups one more. This time it's a little larger group because not only do I want them to go over those prayer lists, I want them to do what you're talking about on Sundays. I want them to bear one another's burdens. We emphasize James 5 on this. Confess your faults one to another. Mm-hmm. Share your weaknesses. Here's where I'm struggling. Confess your faults one and pray one for another. Yeah. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we come together. We're going over that list. And then we break into groups of 4 or 5. And they're sharing needs of their life. And then for another 30 minutes, we're praying together again out loud in corporate prayer. At that point, you know, we're 1 hour and 15, 1 hour 20 minutes into our prayer service. And so I always teach something, but it's not preaching service. I need to work on it, but I'm trying 10 minutes. And right now we're just going through the Psalms. 150 prayers is what they are. They're songs, but they're prayers. They're prayers.
Amen.
And so tonight we'll be on Psalm 30.
Awesome.
And so we'll just take the major theme out of that Psalm, center it around prayer, encourage our people about prayer, faith, trusting God.
That's so good.
And then when we're done, the very last thing we do, which is the last thing we do every time we meet, let's all come together and pray. Mm. And that's how we end our service. So it's about 1.5 hours of corporate prayer. It changes. The focus changes. The elements change. Who we're praying with changes. But people know when I come on Wednesday night at 6:30, we are going to pray. He might teach, but we know he's going to pray. We know we're going to pray.
Amen.
So let me ask you this as we close. Practical, actionable steps for a guy like me. Or maybe a guy listening to this podcast that says, okay, I know our church is not where it needs to be in the area of corporate prayer right now. What are some practical, because I don't know that I could get up in our church, honestly, and say on a Sunday morning or on a Sunday night, say to our church, let's pray for a kid that has leukemia for 30 minutes. And our church would be like, what? How? When? What are practical, actionable steps that maybe I could take that begin to work that direction where it can make it more of an emphasis within our church? And this is not coming for, maybe our audience might hear this, Jonathan, Cody. This is coming from Josh.
Sure.
Like, what can I do, some practical actionable steps that begin us going down the right road there?
The first thing we had to do was we had to go through a purging process. Mm. And I think one of the greatest things churches could do today in this techno-savvy, innovated day, which I love, is to go through a purging process. Mm. And I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about programs. Mm. And to get back to the simplicity of prayer. So the question would have to be for you and for anyone else, what are you willing to give up so that this place can become a house of prayer. It's not going to happen that way by just standing up and saying, let's pray for 30 minutes. There has to be some actions. There has to be some steps that I'm willing to let go of certain ministries. I'm willing to say that prayer is more important than this other thing that we're doing.
Wow, that's
and actually. Then teaching on that and sharing the heart. I can't point back to a series or a message that changed our church about prayer. But I can tell you when this started happening in me, there wasn't a week that didn't go by that I didn't let them see that.
That's good.
This is what God's doing in my heart and my life.
Amen.
And that began to translate into our people. I don't think prayer can be taught in the classroom. I think prayer comes when we realize how much we need God. And prayer is the gauge that I think shows us how much we believe that we need God. So what do we need more? Well, there's all sorts of things about the church that are very, very important. But you cannot argue the fact that Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Yeah. Not of preaching, not even of fellowship. These things are a part of it. But he was most angry about the fact. He was most angry that there was not an aroma of prayer with his people.
Yeah.
So I think allowing God to work in our hearts, we have to start there. Lord, show me what I need to do for our church. And what am I willing to give up and say no to, even if it cost me attendance?
Yeah.
What am I willing to give up? I don't think prayer gatherings, prayer meetings are so much about the attendance of the people who come as it is the attitude of the people who come. God's not interested in hundreds of people praying. I don't necessarily think that's not the successful measure of a church that prays together. It's the faith of the people who are willing to come and do it. So if that's changing your Wednesday night structure, change your Wednesday night structure. That's what it was for us. If it's doing it on Sunday nights, I know some churches that once a month on Sunday night, it's all prayer. Maybe once a month on a Wednesday night, it's all prayer. Maybe it's adding it into the Sunday school hour. I don't know. I just know for us, it had to be every week, and it had to be on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
So that's what worked for us, and that's what the Lord led us to do.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I love about both of you, it's interesting that you're on the same podcast, because I feel the same way about both of you, and that is, when I'm together with you, you both encourage me, make me feel good, I guess is the best way to say it. I feel good when I'm around you both, but then also you challenge me. And that's part of friendship.
Sure.
And Jonathan, every time I've been with you, you have challenged my thinking on this area and allowed me to say, have I settled for status quo? Am I pleasing the Lord in this one area? And I want you to know I'm thankful for that friendship. I'm thankful for the encouragement as well as the challenging to my my personal walk and our ministry. So thank you so much. I hope our podcast listeners, Idea Talks, will deem the same. But if they don't, that's okay, because this was good for me today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for allowing us to talk about it. It's good.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Idea Talks. Join us next month as we discuss another big idea. We encourage you to share this episode online and subscribe to the monthly podcast in iTunes. You can also visit joshtice.com to watch and listen to past episodes and get other helpful resources.